So it's my pleasure this morning to be sitting up here with Huguette, and she's going to tell her story and a little bit interview style. So I'll kind of be helping along. But just to say, the reason that it feels so powerful to Scott and to I to have Huguette sharing this morning is because her story is a great way to like introduce this section where we kind of talk about even when things are hard, God is good. We just sang God, You're So Good because it's one of Huguette's and her family's favorite worship songs. And so I'm going to go ahead and let her start by sharing something you might not know, and just about her childhood growing up as the daughter of a pastor in the Congo.
Good morning. My name is Huguette, like Victoria say. I'm from the Congo, but I live like 10 years in China. I'm not coming from the Congo. I'm coming from China. So I live all my childhood in Congo. My father was a pastor in a Baptist church too. And yeah.
Yeah. And so you were sharing that kind of growing up, you had a lot of brothers and sisters and spent a lot of time at church. Your dad was one of multiple pastors at the church that you were at.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I had my sisters and brothers also working in the church. We spent all our time in church helping our dad with stuff. Not only our dad, but had a pastor, because there were four pastors in the church. My dad was the second one, and we used to help him in the church. All the kids have to do that, because if you don't do that, you get punished. You have to do it. Even if you don't want, you have to do it anyway, but we don't like it. We used to do it, and we start like it, living in the church life. So, yeah.
Well, and what's a wonderful legacy about that is, like, you were kind of forced to do it, and you ended up liking it, and that's how your kids are. Like, now they want to go to church. Like, their two youngest ones will want to not let their older brothers stay with us on Monday nights because they want to come to church, too. So this legacy of always being at church from a young age is something that you've carried forward into your life now.
Yes.
Yeah. And so if you want to share a little bit about how you and your husband met.
This is a long story, but I'm going to just like short it off, because if I start now, we go until the night. My husband and I met somewhere like fun, because my husband lived in China for 18 years. He was a businessman, so he used to have a shop. He was selling everything. So my elder sister used to shop to their shop. So his aunt was selling in the shop. And my sister one day told me, when you're passing there, because you have to take your taxi from there, take me some pot that I buy in that store. He gave me the name of the store. So, and I go there, I see her aunt was there selling stuff, and she told me, "Will you want something?" And I say my name. My sister's name was Julie. I said, "I'm come here to pick up my sister's stuff. Her name is Julie." And she called my sister to make sure it was her stuff that I was picking up. And when she saw me, she called my husband and tell her, "I see one girl here," because my husband come to the Congo to look for a girl to get married. So. So his family present to him a girl, but he didn't like this girl. He was like, "I'm a big man. I can find my own girl. Why they have to present me that girl? I don't like her." And he talked to his aunt that, "You sell here. When you see one beautiful girl, you like her, just call me. I will come and like appreciate that girl." And she calls him and say, "I see one girl here. I think this is the kind of girl you're going to like. But I will stop her here for some time, telling her the pots are not ready until you're going to come back here." And he calls him. He came there, and he say, "Hi." I was like, "Hi." And I was like nervous. I have to go back home. I was coming from work. I was tired, nervous. And he tells me, "How are you doing?" I was like, "I'm fine." And he go inside. He tell her aunt that, I like that girl. Just talk to her, take her address and everything, and now we leave. And yeah, so her aunt was like, if you want, I don't see the cover of this part. You can just stay for a little bit. I will go find the part. I didn't know that my husband was not his aunt's husband because he's big and tall. I was like, maybe it's his husband. I didn't care about that. So when the aunt go find some covers, like she lied to me, and the Levi like alone there talking, and he was asking me some questions. I was so nervous because the time was like short for me. We don't have power in our country. It was dark. I have to go back home. I have to go to my sister, take taxi. It would take me like so long. So he was asking me a question. I was like, why are you asking me a lot of questions? I'm just waiting for stuff and go to my sister's house and go back home. I have to go back home. And Sunday is church. It was on Saturday. I have to go to church. We have to go clean up the church in the morning. It's so busy day. I was seeing my time. It was already 3. In my country, when it's 3, it's kind of a little bit dark because there is no power still sometimes. When an aunt come back and say, like, you don't need transportation. I'm going to bring you to your house. I'm like, okay, I'm lucky. Thank you. So sometimes I was like scared taking somebody's car. I say, I'm a big girl. I would just go. And when we go, he leave me to my sister's house and he left. The next day, he traveled back in China. And he started calling my sister, take my sister's phone number. So my sister told me he came back and take his phone, her phone number. And he said, I like your sister. My sister said, I'm not going to end up you get stuff because we don't know her life. My mom keep telling her, get married. She just say, don't tell me about Mary. I'm not going to say about those things. You by yourself go to her, meet her, and talk to her. And he take my sister's phone number. He start calling my sister. My sister say, I'm not going to put my mouth on those stuff. He gets phone number. He's here. Call her. And one day I see China number like plus 86. I'm like, what is this number?
And you were telling me that at the time that you had met him, you didn't know he was an international businessman.
Yeah, no, I didn't
essentially
know that. Yeah.
So her husband already had established a business that was in China.
Yeah.
That's where he was living, even though he was from the Congo. Mm-hmm. And so he pursued her without telling her that he lived in China. And so they had this courtship that was partly mediated by family, as you can see. Her family was a little bit better about staying out of it than his family was. And so eventually you got married, but there, at the time you were working at the embassy for India in the Congo.
Yeah.
And so she had to give notice because working at the Indian embassy was a very challenging position. You had to be a very patient person, and you had to know English very well, but it was the British English.
Yes.
But one of the things that I love that you shared, that his aunt told him that made him really desire her, is she spoke very good French.
Yeah.
You were very well educated.
Yes.
I know you're humble, but I'm just... Yeah. and so she was a very intelligent, well-spoken woman with a really important job. And so he desired you, he pursued you. Eventually you agreed, thankfully, for him. And then you ended up going to China.
Yeah.
And what was it like to transition there to live?
Yeah, it was not easy for me to go for a new culture. You know, when you go where you don't know any language, you see all the people are same faces. Those Chinese people are like, as long as I stay with them, I start notice that this is not Victoria, this is not who. So I was seeing everybody the same. Everybody at the same size. The language for me was like, I don't understand any words.
Yeah.
So I learn now, I forget it there. If I learn it here, I forget it there. So when they learn me like say hi in Chinese, like ni hao, this is the only word that I learned for a long time. So so other word when they tell me like rice, like going to the market, I forgot them like from here today. I just forgot because I don't see French or English in Chinese, in Mandarin.
Yeah.
So Mandarin is kind of, it was so weird for me. Buying food in the market was just like with sign language, I'm like. Because I don't know words. Even if my husband told me this one is calling this, after that when I go to the market, I forgot. Sometimes I use the paper to write like I hear that. It's not a good writing, but if it's that, I'm just writing like I can read them. I see my paper and read. If I forgot my paper, I'm going to shop with sign language.
And you were saying it took about 2 years of study.
Yes. I do 2 years of study, Chinese, Mandarin, and it was not easy also.
Yeah.
It was not easy. I learned like elementary stuff until my kids grow up, they start learning me more.
Right.
Yeah.
And so as your kids went to school, that's when...
Yeah, especially Dan go to school because David didn't go to school.
Yeah.
Because the story that I told you about Dan rest it at school.
Yeah.
They fight him. They don't like him at school because he was the only black at school. So David didn't go to school. We didn't want David to go to school at this time.
Yeah. So it became a really unsafe situation.
Yes.
When you started to have children who were in school, there was a lot of discrimination.
Yes.
It was very difficult.
Even
the teachers.
Yeah.
And so you and your family made the decision to come here.
Mm-hmm.
Your husband had a friend.
Yeah.
And if you want to share a little bit about that first period of time.
Here? So here was not also easy because my husband's friend called my husband and say, you can come in America, I have a place for you. So we start our journey in New York, and when we arrive there, the friend say, I'm not in New York anymore, I'm in Vermont. You can follow me in Vermont. So when we go to Vermont, that friend moved to Canada. So we used to be in the hotel in Vermont like 2 weeks. He said, just wait for me there. I will be back. And he never get back. He stay in Canada until today. He stay there. So one day in Hannaford, we meet someone. And that people told us about the Maine. He said, you can go to Maine. There is a lot of community of you there. Because here in Vermont, there is not a lot of people that you can like stay with, like from your community. In Maine, there is a lot of people that you can meet. There is churches, places that you can stay. Instead of staying in the hotel, all your money will finish if you stay there because just go to Maine.
Yeah.
So they help us with the pastor to bring us in Maine,
mm-hmm.
in the family shelter. So I think the day that we came, the family shelter was closed because it was a Sunday night. They said they can't take us at this time, let's come in the morning. So we sleep in the hotel again in the morning, we came back in the family shelter.
Yeah, and so what at first looked like a promising situation, right?
Yes.
Your husband, who's an international businessman, had a friend, had a place to be, came over here with you, mm-hmm. his family, his young children,
mm-hmm.
and the friend disappeared. And so that way forward was closed to you, mm-hmm. even though it had been this place that was prepared that you mm-hmm. were expecting,
yeah.
and you had to migrate to Vermont first, and then stay there waiting yeah. for this friend who's kept, you know, setting the expectation, I'm going to come back.
He never
came
back.
And he did not. And so you ended up in Maine, a place you never imagined you would be,
mm-hmm.
without anyone that you knew,
mm-hmm.
in a shelter.
Yes.
And a shelter where how many people were using one kitchen and one bathroom?
24 people.
24 people.
Yes.
And so what was it like getting your kids ready for school while you were there?
I used to wake up my kids like 3 o'clock in the morning to make them ready because they always go late, miss the bus. At that time, we didn't know places. They have to go to the bus and go to school. No, that was only then, and because Dave, you have to work him because he was in pre-K. So I just changed that by waking up them early, like 3 o'clock in the morning, make them ready and bring them back in the bed because they can't brush their teeth in the morning because there is a lot of people in the bathroom. Yeah. Somebody can take a long time. Every time you get mad in the morning to tell somebody that, hey, you have to quit there because somebody else have to use the bathroom. So every time when you talk like this, people see that like, you are too much.
Yeah.
People doesn't like me. I talk too much. I tell people, hey, you have to quit there. People have to go to the bathroom. Like every family go like 6 people inside the bathroom, they stay there.
Yeah. And so to
for avoid, an hour, 2 hours, so other people have to use the bathroom.
Yeah, so to avoid the conflicts, you solve the problem by waking your children up, your young children, because David was 4 at the time, waking him up at 3 a.m. to get him showered and brush his teeth and get dressed, and then let them nap a little before they would then get up again to go to school. Mm-hmm. And so how long did you end up staying at the family shelter?
9 months.
9 months of this.
Yeah.
And what happened with your husband while you were there?
So the thing that happened with my husband is like my husband didn't want to show me that he was shocked because he knows that I'm strong. I like to struggle with those kind of things. I don't like to be in depression or trauma. That's why I was like being strong for my kids, for him, for everybody. But he was trying to be strong. He's not the person who is strong. He kept that in his heart until one day he was volunteering in YMCA in Portland. He was cleaning and fell down. And when he fell, they go in the hospital and say that he had a heart attack.
Yeah, and so I just want to make sure everybody like caught that. So Huguette has been very resilient and kept a positive attitude, been strong for her kids and her family. And her husband's trying to do the same thing. And as people first come over, they're not allowed to work for pay. So they have to volunteer. Yeah. And so he was volunteering as a janitor. This international businessman who's been very successful is volunteering as a janitor so that he can be here with his family. Mm-hmm. And it became too much for him. And he collapsed while he was at work cleaning as a custodian who was volunteering at the YMCA. Mm-hmm. And at first they couldn't get a hold of you. So that he collapsed at work, he was taken to the hospital.
Yeah, and the people from the family shelter just called me in the office and telling me that we have something to tell you is not very good. I'm like, what? I was thinking that they would just blame me because I used to tell people, hey, go off the bathroom, clean the place that you cook. After that, clean the bathroom, clean the kitchen. And he said, there's not a good news, but your husband is having a heart attack, he's at the hospital, but you cannot see him today. Maybe tomorrow you can see him because he's not talking, he's on those heart stuff. And I was like, what do I do? Scream or yell or whatever. I feel very bad that day, and my strong, like, I was not very strong. I feel like very weak. Mm-hmm. I don't know what to do, and I just go back to my room. I start crying and saying, why, God, why? Give us a house. We need to take a house. Why we have to stay in that place? Why here? We came here for a better life, but this life starts getting worse and worse. This place is not good for me. But I didn't know why. That day after that, I get very strong because all my night in family shelter was like, I was just awake. I never sleep. I don't know why I never sleep. Every night I'm like awake. But that day I tried to sleep a little bit and I hear like, I had a dream, but somebody was telling me that you have to worship me during the hard moment. So that day I started worshiping and singing and praying, just praising. By trying to be strong, my body was not, but my spirit was strong. So the next day I go visit him and telling him that you must be strong. He say, I didn't want to tell you, but I'm not strong. I just want you to be strong for our kids, for me, for everybody. I don't know if I'm gonna wake up one day or stand up or what that thing will leave on my body, but I just want you to be strong. So I just tell him to be strong, we pray, and then I go back home. After 2 days, he come back home, and they change him from the janitor to the server in the soup kitchen.
Yeah. So going back to that day, you had this horrible news.
Yeah.
And you, at that time, like David was at preschool, and Daniel was at school, and you were pregnant.
Yeah, and I was pregnant.
And so you're going back to your room and realizing, like, my husband is sick, he's in the hospital, I can't see him. And you've been exhausted because even though you're being strong for your family, that we were talking, your mind wouldn't let you sleep at night.
Yeah.
So you would be constantly awake, struggling with insomnia, mm-hmm. and in this moment, trying to get that rest, you have this dream.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And you told me you ended up praising.
Yeah.
And as you go to the hospital the next day, you and your husband share this moment, right? Mm-hmm. Where he is honest with what's going on for mm-hmm. him, mm-hmm. honest with all that's been difficult. And you share that burden together, mm-hmm. but you're still praising.
Yeah.
And so tell us a little bit about what it was like to move from the shelter. What happened next?
To the place?
Yeah.
So, move from the shelter to the house that they give us, it was also a bad house. But because I didn't want to stay in the family shelter, I just take that house anyway. I think people go to Canada. At that time, people was moving in Canada. When they don't like the place that they give them, they move in Canada. There was someone there, and he proposed us too to go to Canada. He said, I can drive you to Canada. You can go there. There is a better life there. They give people paper. You can move to your country. You can visit your family. And I think those people was living there too. The house was very bad, unsafe, broken ceiling, broken window, and very dirty. Yeah. I tell my husband, I have a baby, but I will clean this house.
Yeah.
I will clean it. We can take it anywhere because I don't want to stay in the family shelter.
So even with a newborn,
yes.
you decided that staying in a broken down
yeah.
house that would not pass any code inspection
yeah, no.
was better.
Yeah.
Because at least you had control and you could clean it and you could make a life.
Yeah. And I can be like, I can have like my private spot with my kids waking up at the normal time, not like struggling with people that clean up your spot. You cook, finish, leave the sink empty. Sharing one kitchen with 24 people, and it was not very good for me. I was like, moving, just go.
Because something I've learned about Huguette is she's such a servant, she can't like see a mess and not get rid of it. So even if it's not their mess, she would have to clean it yeah. in order to yeah. relax in the space.
Yeah.
And so what was it like to move to Westbrook?
So I live in this house in Portland for 2 years, and we try to work with my kids and my husband, putting like board on the windows, fixing stuff, but when it's raining, that ceiling falls. So because it's board, you know, it's wet and then falls. And after 2 years, I see the post of this house here in Westbrook in Main Street, the post that they're looking for people. There's a 3-bedroom. I say, I'm gonna get this house. Yeah. So when I applied for that, I was waiting for like a month. When they didn't call me, they said they're gonna call me for after 2 weeks. After 2 weeks, when they didn't call me, I called them to ask. I applied for the house in Main Street. You didn't call me, and the woman was saying to me, be patient. They're still cleaning there. They work on that house. I know it's your house. We're going to call you next week. And the next week when she doesn't call me, I call her back. I used to call her like a lot of time. So that's why she told me, you can come today. And she didn't finish the word. I said, give me the address. I will be there in your office. Yeah.
And you were faithful where you were at in this really difficult situation. You mm-hmm. tried to make the best of it, but you were persistent in pursuing yeah. the next thing that would be better for your
yes.
family.
Yes. And when I see the house, I was like, now I found the house. So, new place again, living in the street like this, in Main Street, you are like, this is a street. My kids like to run away. Are they gonna cross? But I'm gonna take this house anyway. It's a beautiful house, it's a clean place, and it's safe for me because in Portland, we used to live with drug people. Those people smoke. Sometimes when they get their trouble, they come to knock my door. My door never gets closed. And my husband works night shift. I have yeah. to stay with a baby, with my kids alone home. And when those people come and knock my door, like, wah, 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 they knock my door very bad.
Yeah.
I'm very scared. That was a scary place. It was not safe for me. I go a lot of time in the family shelter, mm-hmm. talk to our social worker, but they never care. Nobody come to visit, even see the place that we were living. They told me, you needed a house, you can just have it anyway. The landlord doesn't care. Even about removing the snow, he never cared. I fall down in the stairs like a lot of time. My kids fall down in the stairs because the stairs was moving and we live in third floor.
Yeah.
So when I take this house, it was also a new place for me, but I take it anyway.
Yeah.
But we stay there and my kids love the environment and places. So, yeah.
And I know you were saying that you tried not to like get to know people's, you know, stories. You didn't want to gossip about it, them or judge them.
Yeah.
But that you could see that they were struggling. And mm-hmm. when you have three young children and there are people who are using methamphetamines or crack cocaine and they're in the middle of the night banging mm-hmm. on your door, especially with your husband needing to work overnights, it really didn't feel safe.
Mm-hmm.
And so you were grateful to be here yeah. where there'd be peace.
Yeah.
And then how did you find us?
First, I can say we knew Scott, Lynn Scott, through pictures, yeah. the Westbrook pictures. So we see Scott, Lynn Scott. We didn't know that Scott, Lynn Scott was Scott here. So so one day, we were passing with my kids going to the playground, and we saw the church. And my kids say, this is the church. You're looking for a church. This is the church. I say, okay, it's also a Baptist church. One day, we're going to try this church. And we're struggling about two churches, this church and the congregation church near the library over there, because my kids like the bell over there. They like, there's a bell there, so we can know that there's a church there, we can go there. So, and we just tried to come here one Sunday. It was a struggle with my kids saying that if we ring the bell, we hear the bell, we can go to that church over there and visit them. And we saw the program of the church here, like they always write here, Sunday morning, 10 o'clock. I said, let's go try there, because the bell ring at 10:30. We're going to start there. At 10:30, when the bell will ring, we come back there and see that church and compare them, and compare them, see which one you like, so we can go there. And they say, okay, let's go. That's why we came here, and we meet Ruth on the door here. She was very kind to us, and then my kids say, it's okay, we can be until the end of the day. So the next Sunday, I just tell them that, can we go try there? They say, no, we just go back there. We can go back to that church again. That's why we came back here, and we miss Christine. She was also kind. We miss Scott. We miss everybody. So we meet everybody here. And Scott told me about the church that is the next service, and I tried this. I liked it, but I didn't find myself on that. Yeah. And my kids were like, we like this church, but we didn't find ourselves there. Let's go to the morning one. So, yeah.
Yeah. And so it was the welcome you received from the people.
Yes.
Ruth and Scott and Kristen.
Mm-hmm.
And that feeling of family.
Yes.
That kept you here.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah. Even my kids and I, so yeah, and Scott invited us in his house for the dinner, I think lunch or dinner, I forgot. So we share a little bit there, and they just like, we like, let's say we like, because I like to.
Yeah.
We just like the way that they welcome us to the house, and we say, okay, we're just gonna stay here.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That you found a community here.
Yes.
Yeah. And so, are there other things you wanna share about how you've seen God kind of show up or work in mysterious ways?
I can say, first, seeing God is just show up with sign.
Yeah.
There are stuff that we don't expect, but happen to us, it's just God. It can be bad things or good things, but you cannot say this is God. At the end of the thing, you can say God, is God here? Because my kids told me, are you sure you want to stay in that church? Because it's not your culture. I say, it's not about the culture, but it's God stuff. I feel myself there. I don't feel myself about culture. Yes, those people speak my language. They speak Lingala. They speak French. I find myself there, but it's not about culture. It's just about how you found people in you. So God is like, God placed me here. It doesn't want me there. Because even those people who pray there, they call me and say, why you go to the first church? You have to come to our church. You found us here. We are here. I say, okay, I will come when you have like an activity. I can come, like some prayer. Sometimes I participated, but I don't find like myself on that.
That the Spirit has called you here.
Yeah, it's like and God placed me here. I cannot like force God to do what I want to do.
Yeah. Well, thank you so much for sharing with us this morning. Yeah. And I'll let the, as the worship team comes up, I'll just pray for us quickly.
Okay.
Dear Jesus, thank you so much for our sister Huguette and that you've drawn her and her family here. Thank you for all she and her children add to our church. And let her story have tugged on our hearts and encourage us to see what you might be telling us that's unexpected in our own lives. In your precious name, amen.